Lord, every morning, your mercies are new. Lord, we know the day is coming when every knee shall bow before you, King of glory. Hayato Shiba. Every tongue will confess Jesus Christ is Lord. And today we bow. We bow now and declare you are Lord. Hallelujah. For where the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I declare that Jesus Christ is my Lord, my Savior. Hallelujah. He is our hope. Oh, bless the Lord. Oh, my soul, the psalmist said. He told himself to bless the Lord. You know, we have that uniqueness about us where we can commune with ourselves. It's called talking to yourself. So the psalmist says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Amen. So, you know, it's a simple illustration, but it's really about gratitude. Acknowledging God's goodness. Instead of focusing on what's wrong or broken or missing, look at what God has done. And out of true gratitude, bring praise to him. Authentic praise, amen, that will then invite his glory, his presence to just fill the atmosphere of your heart, of your mind, and set everything at peace. He'll drive out your enemies. He'll conquer all your foes. He'll crush Satan under your feet if you would just give him praise. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. And in his presence there is fullness of joy. Amen. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. Did you know we were created to give God praise? Amen. So it's not a matter of am I feeling like it. It's like that's my purpose. But, you know, if you will take a good look at the goodness of God in your life, then you can have an authentic reason to give thanks. I think about all the poor people that have suffered so much in our world, and especially even in our own nation now, with the great loss of everything, including lives. And it's our time, church, to rise up and pull together and do what we can to support, amen, our fellow countrymen in their time of suffering. And, you know, as you bless people that you see, you're blessing God who you don't see. I think we should pray for America. And I know you guys really have a heart, so why don't you maybe share this, whatever the Lord puts on your heart to share in prayer for our nation.
Lord, we are saddened and grieved over the death and loss that hurricane has ravaged the southern states, Lord. Lord, we ask for your hand of mercy and grace to not be withheld for the people that need it the most. People that have lost everything. Lord, people that have not had clean water to drink for days, Lord. Lord, would you let that help come forth, Lord. We stand against every barrier that would want to stop the flow of aid to our brothers and sisters of this land, in Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, let this be a time where the church rises up and has a great hour where they reach forth their hand and make a difference in our country, in our land. Lord, we lift up America. Lord, we lift up this great nation which you birthed. Lord, it was your idea. It was your idea for this great country. Lord, you put it on the hearts of the first settlers in America, Lord, to come and have a land of liberty and where they could worship without bonds or fetters from a government. Lord, we thank you that this was your idea. It was birthed on an appeal to heaven, Lord, and I appeal to heaven now. I appeal to heaven now, Lord, our only hope, because we cannot change the evilness that has gripped America, except that we appeal to you and that we take our authority in this place. We take our authority. You said, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. And Lord, we decree today that we have authority to decree in this land, let your kingdom come and let your will be done in America as it is in heaven. Lord, we give you thanks, Lord, that we have that authority, Lord, to bring down powers and principalities and demonic forces that want to take over this land. We silence you. We dismantle your plans. In Jesus' name, believe, church, that we have this authority. Believe we can dismantle these evil schemes. We can expose these evildoers in the name of Jesus. Take off their hiding place, Lord. Dismantle their hiding place. And let the truth of your gospel be preached throughout this land. Throughout this land, Lord. We let freedom reign. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
God, I ask that you would release your angelic warring armies over this nation. I ask that you would bring confusion and chaos to the camp of the enemy in Jesus' name, that they will turn upon one another in Jesus' name. And God, I ask for a great sweep of your Holy Spirit over this land in Jesus' name. God, I call out for a spirit of conviction and salvation to fall upon every heart and every mind of every person in this country, no matter their age, no matter where they live, no matter their occupation. In Jesus' name, God, I cry out for redemption for this land. I cry out for your mercy, that we do not get what we deserve, but we get what is in the heart of God for this nation. In Jesus' name, God, I call forth your intercessors. God, bring them. Bring them from the four winds. Bring them. Stand them on the wall, God. Let them know the importance of their job. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we speak life over America. We curse the spirit of death that is trying to invade this nation. In Jesus' name, Lord, your will be done in America. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Everybody said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let the church arise. Hallelujah. We say, let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Hallelujah. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. Father, heal our land and turn our nation back to you. Wake up your church, Lord, across this nation. And unite us together as one under your authority, the name of Jesus Christ, under your headship, Lord, that you might be glorified in this nation and the nations of the earth, Lord. We praise you and we thank you that you hear us and that our labor in the Lord is never in vain, Lord. Hallelujah. Keep on asking, he said. Keep on seeking and keep on knocking. Hallelujah. And Lord, we will not quit. We'll believe until we see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Hallelujah. In this nation. For where iniquity abounds, grace much more abounds. So let your grace abound in your saints, in your people, Lord. Let our lives be filled with your holy presence, Lord. May our hearts be pure before you, Lord. Purify your bride and make us ready for you, Lord God, for your coming. Hallelujah. Awake, O sleeper. Arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Father, we ask you for divine eye salve that we might see clearly, that we may be able to discern the times, discern between that which is of you and that which is not, that we may be able to judge accurately. Lord, every situation we're faced with, every person that we meet, that we may, Lord, be able to see clearly, Lord, what spirit is operating. Father, you told us to be watchful. You told us to stay awake. And the only way we can be awake is that we are awakened by you. That we are filled with your Holy Spirit. That the light and the love of Christ is shed abroad in our hearts by your Holy Spirit. And that we have humble hearts and obedient hearts and a willingness to submit ourselves to you and to turn from our ways, Lord, that we may walk in your path. Your will be done, we pray, Father, in each one of our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Title of the message today, The Need for Discernment. How many can say amen to that? I mean, with access to so much information, how many know we're information overload, right? I thought it necessary to once again address the topic of discernment. Talked about how to discern the source of spiritual power. But we need to be able to also discern the spirits that are operating. And there is a gift of discerning of spirits. But discernment, again, is the ability to make an accurate judgment about someone or something. So we are to judge all things, but not in hypocritical judgment, not in self-righteous judgment, but as the Lord would give us sight to be able to see clearly, to discern, to judge what is of him, what is not of him, who is of him and who is not of him. See, some people are blind to the fact that they're not even saved, and yet they think they are. But a tree is known by its fruit. And the Bible is very clear. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Amen. You receive that new nature, brand new desires now. The things that you used to love, you hate. The things that you hate, right? You love. You love the light. You love the Word of God. You love the truth. You embrace it because it's life to you. It's nourishment to your soul. And if I have a rebellious attitude or spirit, amen, I need to repent of that so that I'll have a heart, amen, that is open and receptive to receive the truth. Jesus said, this is the condemnation that light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than the light. And they don't what? Come into the light lest their deeds be exposed. But we who are of the light know that everything is open and bare to the one to whom we will give an account. God sees it all already. So we just run right into the light, run to Jesus, amen? Don't run away from him because he's your only salvation. Your only hope is to go through the cross, to go through the forgiveness of God, amen? To make your confession and your renouncing, amen, of your sinful ways. And God will grant you mercy and grace. The first thing we need to understand is we are incapable of discerning accurately by relying solely on our human intellect. See, a lot of people think that if I judge it, it must be correct judgment. Or if I thought it, it must be a good thought. Or sometimes if I thought it, it must be God speaking to me. But we need to understand, you know, how to discern between what is of God and what is not. What spirit is of the Lord and what is not. So true born-again believers, we receive God's Holy Spirit at conversion. Amen? And this Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. And he's the one that gives us the ability to discern or to judge accurately. However, even as believers, our ability to discern clearly can become dulled by sin. Somebody say amen. So even as a child of God, if I choose to sin willfully, all right, you're giving the enemy an opportunity to blind you. Mm-hmm. That's why we must repent. We must turn away from darkness and run into the light, run to Jesus. Amen. And when you sin, you have an advocate for the Father. Amen. You immediately turn to the Lord. You not only confess it, but you must come to the place where you repent. And that means I am done with that. I renounce that sinful way. Johanna Michelson, I've quoted her before, but she said this, and she wrote a good book called The Beautiful Side of Evil, and how the enemy usually dresses up as an angel of light, right? But he said, when we walk in fellowship with our Lord, quote, as we come to know him, his Holy Spirit bears witness within us concerning these things. But where we have grieved his Holy Spirit through sin and disobedience, this inner witness becomes warped and distorted, and we no longer see or understand. Our inner witness may no longer be accurate. That is why we must confess again, see, and renounce sin. We must turn from it. In 1 John 2 and verse 20, it says, but you, talking to the child of God, amen, the church, you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. And the word anointing means a smearing on, all right? It's referring to the Holy Spirit, all right? It's a special endowment. And it's the working out of the Spirit of God through our lives. All right, so when a person is saved, they receive, right, the indwelling Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit then enables them to discern between truth and error. But we are warned in Scripture not to grieve the Holy Spirit and not to quench the Holy Spirit. Two things. Do not grieve him and do not what? Quench the Spirit. In Ephesians 4:30, it says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And the word grief means distress or cause grief. Ephesians 4:31 says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, here's proactive, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. So we're not to bring grief to the Lord. Amen? How many know our behaviors can do that? How many know that when you grieve the Lord? And we become aware of that, right? We have to immediately apologize to the Lord. Amen? And turn away from it. Then the other thing is quenching the Spirit, which means to extinguish, as to put out a fire. Or to cut off the flow. All right? So we're not to cut off the flow or quench the Spirit. All right? So speaking of interrupting, right? Now, in a service, let me give you an example. We can interrupt the flow of the Spirit because sometimes we can become careless or indifferent to the fact that the Holy Spirit is here wanting to do a work among us. And maybe the Holy Spirit is even working through the message that's being preached. But the enemy wants to come in and cause a disruption, a distraction, so that he can rob people from receiving the truth that would help them to become free. So, all right, he will try to interrupt. Or sometimes we can be presumptuous in thinking that God has given us a word. And if it's not in order with what the Holy Spirit is doing at the time, okay, then it can actually quench. It can actually be like throwing a wet blanket on a fire. All right? Even though the word may be accurate, if the Lord is not in it, It doesn't matter how many scriptures you quote. Amen. When God is speaking, it is life-giving. Even when he corrects us, it's life-giving. It's always redemptive. Amen. So we have to be very careful that we don't grieve the Holy Spirit by our actions or cut off the flow, even by simply refusing to stir up the gift of God within us. So one way we can quench the Spirit is by disregarding him altogether, as some do. They're not even paying attention to what the Holy Spirit wants to do. And that's why a prayer life is so important. We must have a prayer life. That's our communion with him. Amen. Our communication. God wants to speak to you. Did you know that? Amen. He may speak to you this morning. Amen. Through this word. But he wants to speak to you privately, personally. Amen. He wants you to shut yourself in with him. Amen. Get alone with him. And pray to your Father in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you what? Openly. So we need to cultivate that personal prayer life, that relationship with Jesus. Amen. And in his word as well. In 2 Timothy 3:5, it says, some have a form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such people, it says, turn away. And that word power is dunamis. Same word, right? In Acts 1:8, you shall receive dunamis. After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you. It's the power of God. There are people who may be able to preach, but they deny the power of God. And without the Spirit, amen, it's just a letter. We need the letter, amen, and we need the Spirit to breathe upon the word and bring it alive in us, amen. There's a difference. 1 Corinthians 4:20 says, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Same word, dunamis, dynamic working power, God's power, amen, the Holy Spirit's power, all right? New Living Translation says, for the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk. It is living by God's power. Let's say that together. Living by God's power. Say it again. Living by God's power. We are to live by God's power. Not relying upon solely our human intellect or our willpower. Amen. But we need God's Spirit to be at work in us. And we need to submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit and rely upon his ability, his grace, his power, so that we'll be a vessel, amen, that can be used of him. So God wants to just release his kingdom, all right, through his people. And this gospel is not in word only, but it is a gospel of power. In other words, God will manifest himself through his word that he is speaking. God will confirm every word that he is speaking, not what we speak. But what he speaks, he will confirm that word. If it's a true word from the Lord, it will come to pass. It will bring fruit. Good fruit, amen. So we're commanded in Scripture, all right, to test all things. Judge not, lest you be judged. No, people misunderstand that. Talking about hypocritical judgment. We're supposed to be testing everything. Discernment is actually making correct judgments. Right? If you hear a word, it should be run by the desk of the Lord. You should be asking the Lord about that. Amen? And we need to be studying ourselves so that we can be approved as a servant of the Lord. Amen? And understand what God is saying. And if it doesn't agree with his word, we spit it out. Amen? But the word test means approve, discern, or examine. It's saying test, approve, discern, or examine all things. Hold fast what is good. Right? Hold on to the good, spit out the bones. So it's important that we're able to distinguish what spirit is operating in a person. You see, just because somebody can preach well does not mean they're operating in the right spirit. Or they're being, right, motivated by the Holy Spirit. And this is the thing. And the reason why I feel this is so important, we need discernment more than ever before, because there is so much access and so much information and so much teaching and preaching that's on YouTube and on the internet, that if you don't know how to discern a word, you can very easily be deceived, because Jesus said if it were possible, even the elect will be deceived in the last days. And there are many people that have become shipwrecked in their faith because they sat under the wrong spirit. How many know the devil knows how to speak truth? And he uses that as a hook. Well, we need to discern the spirit behind the message. Not everything bad that happens to us, by the way, involves the spirit. But there are definitely spirits that can cause fear or sickness, infirmity or mental illness. Would you agree? Paul warned Timothy to be careful or beware of imposters in the church. In 2 Timothy 3:13, he said, "But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." Are we not living in that time? The word imposter means a seducer or a wizard, one who casts a spell. Now, Jesus said you will recognize them by their fruits, right? So, but if you don't know what the fruit of the Spirit is, if you don't have a relationship with the Lord, who is the source of all good fruit, then you're going to have a hard time distinguishing what is of God and what is not. And unfortunately, too many people depend on somebody else to tell them what God is saying, and they never develop a relationship with the Lord to where they know and recognize His voice themselves. It's important that we sit under teaching, but we need to be under the right teaching and the right spirit. Some of the obvious marks of power that proceed from the demonic realm would include hate, pride. How about control? Power tricks. I'm not talking about demonstrations of God's authentic power, but power tricks. Some people are operating in demonic power and they're fooling people. And they chase after them because they're not able to discern the spirit at work. But usually when there's narcissism, there's this pride, there's the ego. There's a lot of I in the message. I. Or the messenger is trying to draw attention to themselves and not Christ. Amen? We're just the paper boys and girls. Amen? But we're pointing people to Jesus. The Holy Spirit always does that. He always points to the Lord. Amen. So the more surrendered a person is to the source of power, whatever it is, the more clearly they will reflect the fruit of that power source. So a person who's being deceived by demonic spirits, thinking sometimes it's God's spirit, their life will become darker and darker. They'll become depressed. Yeah? How many know that God's not into depression? He's not the source of depression. God wants His people alive. He wants His people full of His joy, His peace, His love, His goodness, His gentleness, His faithfulness, His self-control. Any of them I left off the list there? But a person operating in demonic power, hear it, is generally controlling people. So they use their spirituality to control others. They use their knowledge to control others. They use their knowledge to draw people after themselves rather than Christ. They usually end up causing division for that reason. Usually, they will also resist allowing others to speak into their lives. They're not teachable. They've got it figured out, and I'm the only right way. How many know that is pride, and that is dangerous? It doesn't matter how long we've been a believer, we need to remain humble before the Lord and teachable, amen, and understand that we can very easily be led astray, okay? All we like sheep have been, what, led astray, right? We've gone astray. We've returned to the great shepherd and lover of our soul. He'll take care of us, but we need to learn how to call on Him and say, "Lord, help me to understand. Lead me in your paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Amen. Deliver me from the wolves in sheep's clothing. Give me the ability to judge and discern correctly. Isn't that what pleased the Lord when Solomon requested that of the Lord? He said, you didn't ask for your life, your enemies, or for long life, or wealth. But you asked something that pleased me, that you might be a wise and discerning king, that you might be able to judge correctly, all right, in the nation of Israel. And that pleased the Lord. In 2 Peter 2, in verse 2, it says, "And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed." In other words, there are people who claim to be followers of Jesus, right? They claim to be Christians. But because of the way they live, they give the world an opportunity to blaspheme God. Now, there's another hypocrite. By covetousness, that means the greed, right? They're going to exploit you. And listen, and with deceptive words, for a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. The word exploit means make merchandise of, to peddle you. In other words, there will be those who will use people, even in the pulpit, as a commodity for what they want. See, it's very dangerous, isn't it? We're supposed to be under the headship of Jesus, amen. Every pastor, every shepherd is simply an under-shepherd, and he's supposed to be representing the one who sent him. Amen? And so pray for me that that doesn't change. Amen? I fear the Lord. And I want to honor the Lord, and I want to do what he's telling me to do and speak what he's telling me to speak. But we all need to be on guard because the enemy's slick. You know? And be careful of having this know-it-all attitude. Humble yourself. Bring it way down. Come on, somebody. Bring it way down. Like a child. Amen. Why this? Why that? Why this? Why that? If you have a humble attitude towards the Lord, he'll open up the windows of heaven. Amen. Pour out his blessings and his revelation. He'll give it to you. You'll be able to understand. But our challenge here is not to seek after power, and this is the thing, but to seek the Lord Jesus. Now, if we're seeking the Lord, amen, if we're walking with the Lord, then there will be a reflection of the Lord out of our lives. There will be the manifestation of his spirit and of his power as we walk together in harmony with him, under his authority, in obedience to his word. God will confirm his word, and he will use us if we humble ourselves. So as we faithfully pursue the Lord and his will, he releases his anointing or his power through us. I'll say it again. As we faithfully pursue the Lord and his will, he releases his anointing or his power through us. 1 Corinthians 12:7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits. That's what we're looking at today. To another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. So what is the gift of discernment of spirits? Well, certainly it is a special grace that God gives, amen, to individuals, so that they can discern the spirit that is at work in a person or in a situation. And how do I get this gift? How many think that's a very important gift to have? Do you believe that God wants to give you that gift? Then we should seek him, amen? We should ask for it and believe for it. Well, how do you receive anything from God? It begins with an F. Faith. Faith in God's promise that he wants to give you the kingdom, that he wants to give you his gifts, that he wants you to be a vessel for him. Yeah, he wants to use you and me. Amen? He wants us to receive what he has freely purchased for us at the cross. It says when he ascended on high, he gave gifts unto men. And he wants you to operate in those spiritual gifts, those supernatural abilities that come from God. And God will release his grace upon the humble and the ones that are teachable that bring it down. Amen? Because a proud person is setting themselves up for demonic, all right, deception. Mm-hmm. So we can't make this about us. But we need to always point to Jesus. When we pray and we get up here on this platform, we say, Lord, we want this to be about you. We want you to be the center of attention. We want to be before an audience of one. Amen. As we just minister to the Lord, we worship the Lord, we bless the Lord, we praise the Lord for his goodness. Amen. But we don't make it about us. We're not here to entertain, even though there may be some value, some, in that. It's really about blessing the Lord. And how many would agree with me that God gave music to mankind as a gift? Okay, it's not like, oh, you can't have any enjoyment in music. No, God gave music to us as a gift, all right? How many have been blessed by music in your life more than once? Boy, there's been times when that right song came at the right time, man, and wow, what a difference it made, right? Hallelujah. So, but what we do is we commit everything back to God. Whatever he's given you, whatever he's put in your hands, give it back to God. And like the boy with the fishes and the loaves, what did he do? He blessed it and he multiplied it. If you give it back to God, say, Lord, I want to use it for you. Amen. I give you my talent. Use me now for your purposes. Hallelujah. Listen to what Jesus said, Luke 11:13. How many know this one? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Pretty simple. Now, don't add to that and don't take away from that. God wants to give you his Holy Spirit. God wants to give you his good things, his gifts. But only God can give this gift. You can't give it to yourself, right? You can't make it up. You can't fake it. Either you have it or you don't. He may choose to impart this gift, sometimes by the laying on of hands of the brethren. Okay. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:6, here's the justification for that statement. Therefore, I remind you to what? Stir up the gift of God. We know what that means, right? As with bellows, blowing on the ember, fanning it into flame, right? Which is in you, what? Through the laying out of my hands. So God used Paul, amen, to impart to Timothy spiritual gifts. There are three categories of spirits. Are you ready for this? The first one is very obvious. It's human spirits, right? Sometimes what we're dealing with is just a stubborn human being. All right? It's not always demonic. It's just that fallen nature and the stubbornness of a person who's self-willed. All right? Then there are, of course, angelic spirits, the angels of God, amen, ministers, all right, of him to those of us who are inheriting eternal life, right? And demonic spirits, of course, and these could possibly be fallen angels, all right? But there are human spirits, they're angelic spirits, but then there's also the demonic spirits. And listen, without the help of the Holy Spirit, we are unable to discern correctly. Somebody say amen, right? How many besides myself have asked the question, Lord, is that you speaking? Or is that the enemy or is that man? See, that's why we need to know the voice of the shepherd. We need to go deeper into God, spend time with him. The more you spend time with somebody, the more you get to know them. You know, if a loved one who's on the other side of that wall, I've used that before, right? And they're talking to somebody, oh, that's so-and-so, right? There may be two people having a conversation. If you know them, you know who the two people are that are talking. Why? Because you're acquainted with their voice. God wants us to become acquainted by his voice, amen, through the word and through relationship with the Holy Spirit. So our ability to discern is enhanced as we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, both grace and a knowledge. Not just knowledge and not just grace, but grace and knowledge together. All right? Remember, Peter was able to discern the motives of Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. He knew that they were lying to the Holy Spirit. They had fooled probably a lot of people, but he was able to discern it by the Spirit of the Lord. And it brought instant judgment on these people, on this couple. Now, here's several types of discernment. Are you ready? First one is discernment of gifts. What gift is operating right now? Second one is discernment of spirits. What spirit's at work here? Third is discernment of actions. It's pretty obvious, aren't they? Fruit, right? Outward fruit sometimes. Discernment of intents. This goes a little deeper. Sometimes God will give you the ability to read the mail of somebody that you're in contact with. You know what I'm talking about? You'll be able to discern what's going on. Outwardly, they're saying this, but inwardly something else is going on, and the Lord will show it to you because he'll warn you about this person, that they're deceptive and they're trying to take you for a ride. And then there's the discernment of the times and the seasons. Many right now are trying to grapple for understanding of the times and the seasons we're living in. When is the Lord going to return? When will the rapture happen? Amen. What's actually happening right now in our nation? All these things. Is America Babylon, as some would believe, you know? Personally, I don't believe that. But I don't have time to get into it today. But let's just look at this today. Discernment is vital. Without it, you and I can be deceived. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and he will lead us, as Jesus said, into all truth. You can know what is authentic versus what is fake. Amen. What is counterfeit versus what is real. But you must have a clean heart, a repentant attitude towards the Lord. You must, amen, forsake your sin, renounce it, and then be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. And when the light is on, you can see clearly. But if you're walking in darkness, you're going to stumble. And you're susceptible to deception, right? So we need to come completely out of darkness into the light of Christ. We need to come completely out of Egypt, if you will. Amen. To where we're walking now with the Lord in this new life, this new way. And he's going to be the one that will guide us to the promised land, to all that he has ahead of us. Amen. So when the Holy Spirit is at work, there is Christ-centered spirituality that places the worship and attention on Jesus and his word. When the Holy Spirit is at work, the attention will always be on Jesus, right, and his word. All right. So the Holy Spirit is always governed by three things. You ready? He's governed by these three things. One, the love of God. We should be motivated by the love of God. Not the love of man, not man love, but the agape, amen, love of God. The word of God, number two. And thirdly, that which edifies the body of Christ or builds. The Holy Spirit comes to edify, to build up. All right? The Lord is building up, if you will, a temple of praise. You and I are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the building of God. Amen. We meet in a building, but we are the church. And the church is together. And it's always nice to have a roof over your head when you're gathering, especially if the weather's inclement, right? So caution. Sometimes discernment is used, or the word discernment is used by people as a catchphrase for speaking against somebody they have a beef with. Don't do that. Are you hearing me? There's a lot of bitter people even online. All I got to do is find fault with this and that. Sometimes I've heard preachers just attacking other preachers flat out just because they had a disagreement with them somewhere doctrinally. There are certain things that we need to call out. Amen. I agree with that. But we need to be careful that we're not getting in the position, all right, of being a sower of discord among brethren, causing division. God wants his body to come together under his headship, under his word. Amen. Whatever is destructive in nature, amen, is not necessarily of God. And I'm going to qualify that. Because sometimes God has to tear down something that's false in us so that we can be in a place to receive what is real. Sometimes we have strongholds of thinking, mindsets that we've inherited from our fallen nature and or being in this world. So we're thinking wrong thoughts. And so those have to be brought down. That has to be torn down. But the Holy Spirit always builds us back up in truth. Amen. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Amen. We need to know what is real, what is authentic. And we cannot know that if we do not have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth that the Lord has given to us. It is the Spirit of Christ in us. And the Lord is the Spirit, the Bible says. And where the Spirit of the Lord, there is liberty. Wherever he is, there's liberty. Freedom from religious bondage, legalism. It's a relationship. We're doing life together with Jesus now. Amen. I'm no longer under condemnation. I'm no longer a slave to sin. I consider myself now free in Jesus' name. And so now I need to enforce what Jesus has already accomplished for me by taking those thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. And those things that do not agree with the Word of God. Because sometimes we just want to justify what we do, but it doesn't stand before the Lord. Sometimes we're looking for ways or a loophole in the Word of God to do what we want to do. But it doesn't stand the judgment test. So we need discernment. We need to ask the Lord, Lord, convict me if I'm not right with you. Convict me. Lord, I pray this way. Lord, smite me with conviction when I even begin to wander away from you. Amen. How many know he's faithful? And he will make you miserable. Amen. So you'll say, yes, Lord, it's always better under your roof. Life is good in the God zone, isn't it? Stay in the zone. Sometimes people use discernment as a way of defeating somebody in a struggle for power or influence, you know. They lie even about people. But God is not, amen, a liar, hallelujah, like man can be. He is always the truth. Every word he speaks is always true, is always real, is always authentic. So that's why we can trust the Word of God. So whatever is not of love is not of God. Love is patient. 1 Corinthians 13:4. Love is kind. What? Love is not jealous or boastful or proud. Verse 5, or rude. It does not demand its own way. I did it my way. It's not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. So when you're making a judgment, you ready for this? Ask yourself, if I raise this issue, how will I be pointing this person to Christ? If I'm going to address somebody, how am I helping them grow? How about this? In what way am I loving them? Am I demonstrating the love of Christ to them? You know, sometimes loving somebody comes in the form of discipline. Is it not? You know, if somebody's drowning in the ocean, and you've got a lifesaver, amen, I don't think you're too concerned about whether you happen to club them with the side of that thing or the rope or whatever. What you want to do is make sure they get the hold of that thing so you can save them. Amen. Yeah. All right? So don't be so caught up in, well, when will I offend this person? Sometimes you got to be offended first before you wake up. Sometimes you got to make people mad before they get the message. I've had people irritate me a few times along the road. But now I look back and say, thank you for irritating me the way you did and not giving up on me like you did. So the gift of discernment of spirits in operation, I'm going to close with this. Acts 16:16. Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination met us, who brought our masters much profit by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaimed to us the way of salvation. Well, they had their own little, what do you call it, glee club, or what's that word? A groupie? Okay. So who wouldn't want that? Hey, they're out here promoting. I'm getting free advertising, right? But guess what happened? Verse 18, and she did this for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out that very hour. Now, what's going on here? How many know the enemy wants you to get puffed up? He wants to make it about you. And we have to be careful that we always give the glory to God. And we receive our validation and our affirmation from the Father who says, you've done well, my son. And God may use somebody to speak into your life and compliment you about something that you did that was in agreement with the will of God, so you would be encouraged in that work, amen? Not with some ulterior motive, such as flattery to manipulate or control you, but as a way of saying, you know what? That's what pleases the Lord. That's the right thing to be doing. Keep it up. How many know that's important too? We should encourage one another, but always with the motivation, amen, that we will follow harder even after Jesus, but not as a means of taking the glory or the credit upon ourselves, because you and I know that we can't do anything without Him. So if we have any gifts, we have any abilities, God gave it to us in the first place. So if we're going to do any boasting, let's boast in the Lord, amen? If somebody says a compliment to me, I'll say thank you, and I say praise the Lord. I give glory to God. I knew it was God working through me, amen? And I heard it said one time, it was kind of funny, but, you know, somebody had got done singing, and they weren't singing all that well. And people said, man, that was an amazing song. You did a great job. And the person says, oh, it was all God. And they responded with, no, if it was all God, it would have been much better than that. But it's a partnership, wasn't it? We have this treasure in earthen vessels. We partner with God. He uses flawed vessels, okay, to work through. We simply need to cooperate with Him. Get the junk out, get the good in, amen, that we be able to discern clearly and know what is of God, what is not, so we can avoid the trap of the enemy. We need to be wise. And true wisdom comes from the Lord. True wisdom comes from the Holy Spirit. Amen. And the Holy Spirit will always agree with what is written in the book. Amen. So, hallelujah. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that, Lord, you will bring all of us to a place of greater understanding, of greater discernment, of clarity of thought, of word, that we will hear clearly and know and recognize the voice of the Lord, the great shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we want to obey your voice. We want to know your voice. We want to be led of your Spirit. And Lord, we ask you to deliver us from evil. Deliver us from deception and from every lie. Lead us into all truth, Lord. Hallelujah, that we may walk in your freedom and be an expression of your love, of your heart in this world, that we might be ambassadors for you, Lord, representing you in this broken world for your glory and for your name's sake. Lord, we ask you to purify us from every wicked thing, every evil work. And just make us holy in your sight, in Jesus' name. Amen.